the state of the nation.
Your guide to student and UK politics.
This
is URN.
Hello and welcome to another State of the Nation debate, where we pit the presidents or chairs of the main political societies on campus against one another on a given topic. I'm your host for this month, Sam Hamilton. Our topic for January is business. We'll be covering corporation tax after Brexit. We'll be covering the Labour Party, the minimum wage, gender quotas, and privatisation versus nationalisation. All very juicy topics, I'm sure. But before we get into that, I think we better introduce our esteemed panel. So, gentlemen, if you could give us your name and the party you represent, starting with from my left.
I'm Callum Sullivan. I'm president of the University of Nottingham Liberal Democrats.
Hello, I'm Richard Meredith, and I'm president of the Nottingham University Conservative Association.
Hello, I'm Jacob Collier, and I'm chair of Labour Students.
Excellent stuff. And hopefully I'll be Sam Hamilton impartial. Right, let's get on to our first question then. In a post-Brexit Britain, is it better for corporation tax to be lowered, raised or stay the same? Yes.
Well,
Callum.
I personally think it needs to be raised, but I'd like to address where we currently are at the moment more than anything. We're currently set at 19%. Now, 19%, it's been set at that level for one very key reason. We had a financial crisis in 2008 and we needed to attract more foreign investment into the country after the economy was practically on its knees. And with considering that most of our economy is centred around the banking sector, if there was a crash at that point, it would affect Britain much more than it would affect the likes of France or Germany, because we have, because our economy is centred around the banking sector so much. Now, in the United States, it's currently 34%, 35%. The Lib Dems have called for it to be around 20% to keep that foreign investment coming in, but at the same time keep it at a rate that allows business, that, you know, at least increases the tax intake. I'd go a bit further. I'd probably set it at around 22, 23%. But, you know, we can argue arbitrary numbers all we like, but the bottom line is it needs to go up by some degree. Now, the degree to which we do it is really part of the debate. I mean,
well, sort of building what Callum said, or going into what Callum says there, it's something like raising a corporation tax to increase the revenue from said tax. Well, we've seen record levels of revenue from corporation tax whilst we've lowered it, and with further plans to lower it to 17% in 2020. It's all about actually looking from a very practical point of view, rather than doing it for ideological reasons or doing it for what seems would be perhaps more fair. It's just, if we lower corporation tax, we get more money from it. That's just what's happened. That's what's happened in the UK. And if we want to get more of that tax revenue,
that's not necessarily true, though, because we have seen a downturn in government revenues since we cut corporation tax. And, you know, it does attract that investment, but it doesn't necessarily go into the government kitty. That's the issue here,
well, no,
really.
I mean, looking at the article in Financial Times before we came in, is that we had, I think, 54 billion raised in corporation tax in 2017, which is a record for the UK. So we are seeing a greater actual revenue from that actual corporation tax going into the UK's government coffers.
I mean, the IFS disputes that, but
no. Well, I think what we need to do is take it back to the levels that it was before the crash, which was about 26%. So what Labour has plans to do is sort of gradually increase it each year, so 21%, then 24%. And eventually, by about 2020, I think we raise about 19.4 billion, which obviously will mean that we can invest it into the economy to boost industry. And actually, it's quite interesting that the US, which is not exactly a kind of Corbynite state, has corporation tax at 35%. So we need to find a way that's going to alleviate austerity. And I think the way to do that is to ask those with the broadest shoulders, which is corporations, to take the brunt of that.
Well, I think we can't, in essence, just look at corporation tax on its own. You've got to look at this as a wider economic strategy as well, because whilst if you raise corporation tax, that is going to increase the burdens on well, on businesses. Now, there's not all big businesses. I mean, I think the profit threshold to have this top rate of corporation tax is £300,000. That is not necessarily all the biggest companies are going to be affected by these increases. So it may not necessarily fall on the broader shoulders.
Yeah.
But then also you've got to look at, especially in the post-Brexit Britain, which is a key part of this question, is what are the other policies to support businesses when if there was to be an increase? And we'll get onto this in later questions, no doubt, but with the ideas of being post-Brexit, if you're increasing minimum wage and...
I mean, if I can just jump in, Richard, sorry to jump in. I mean, the British Chambers of Commerce is extremely concerned about corporation tax being lowered as well, and considering this represents all of our biggest corporations as... You know, the biggest big corporations have a huge say in what the British Chambers of Commerce is actually putting out to the public. I think it says a lot that they're very concerned about corporation tax being lowered as well.
Well,
if
I'm correct, actually corporations don't consider this the big issue. The bigger issue is things like income tax, which they're more concerned about.
I mean, to come back, we've been around the table a couple of times now. But again, the question has been phrased in such a way as to include post-Brexit. Brexit Britain, and the idea that I suppose in sort of uncertain times, is it better to consolidate and sort of I suppose take the Labour option and protect the people at the bottom in uncertainty, or is it better to take maybe a risk and lower corporation tax to get more revenue? I don't know.
I mean, there's this idea being circling around in especially, you know, libertarian circles, conservative circles, in which suggests that we should set it to about 14-15% and take a Singapore strategy. You know, in the event that we carry on with the way we're going as Brexit Britain, are we going to have a hard Brexit or a soft Brexit? That's an entirely different debate. But let's say we do go down to that level, then we're going to have to see drastic cuts to the National Health Service. We're going to have to see drastic cuts to welfare, because frankly the tax revenue will not bring in enough, and you can only attract so much business, and it's already coming here, and it was coming here at a time between 2010 and 2015 when we were stable inside the European Union. If we've got to lower tax rates to such a level to try and compete with France, Germany and all them inside the European Union, we're going to end up having to do serious damage to our public services at a time when, you know, the British economy is quite unstable already.
Well, I think that sort of goes on to the assumption that raising corporation tax is always going to raise the revenue from that, because corporation tax is one of the most difficult things to predict your revenue from.
It is, but at the same time, there is a rate you can fall below where you start seeing a downturn. I mean, I'm in agreement with you to some extent that there is, that sometimes lowering corporation tax is a very good thing for businesses. It allows them to employ more workers. It sometimes can improve the way businesses operate, but at the same time, in the current climate where the British economy is so unstable, in which we're still trying to cut a £40 billion deficit.
Sorry to like sort of jump in right there. I wouldn't say the UK economy right now. There's a lot of narrative that we're in a very unstable state, but I don't think necessarily that we are. We've seen the lowest unemployment. It's in the news today. We've seen
inflation rising.
But now we're seeing that economists are saying that they think that's peaked and it's going to be heading down, and we are seeing slowly decreasing in that. With the pound's back up
up. Yeah.
Unemployment's down. I think it's a bit of a maybe we are in a degree of uncertainty. Brexit is still going on. Businesses are still...
And uncertainty is a bad thing for businesses.
Yeah, no, it is. But I think we can't overplay the fact that we are in this state. We are in also a place of strength in the UK. We do have a good economy still. We just have a degree of uncertainty due to Brexit.
Jacob.
Well, I think it's important that we also stress that we were talking about having a lower rate for small businesses. You know, Richard talked about how they're vital for the economy, and I do agree. And you should have a variable rate depending on how big the business is. And I think also on things like the minimum wage, there has to be some kind of exemptions, there has to be kind of tax credits that can help, or tax incentives that can help small businesses, so that we don't sort of burden them or overburden them with all this kind of tax and regulation.
I think what Jacob is sort of hitting on there a little bit is the Labour plans to have that variation for small businesses by a different rate.
Yep.
I think, and that's again, but the problem is that, and a lot of the criticism I've read of that policy is that basing it off profit for small businesses is sort of, it's very anti-enterprising. It's very, because I think it's what 83,000 profit or something like that, where this will no longer take effect. So I think that just having that policy, having that variable corporation taxes, increases the complexity. Maybe it doesn't incentivize businesses to start to earn that above that threshold in profit. But I don't think that's necessarily the way to go. I think it's just having quite a simple, streamlined tax system which has a low rate of corporation tax to keep that UK competitive in an international market?
Well, I don't think that the answer is to just completely slash it, because we will become this kind of tax haven, and we've seen it in other places. You know, Callum mentioned Singapore before. I don't think anybody wants to see Britain become this kind of tax haven.
Good. Okay, I think that wraps up our last question, or our first question, I should say. Right. Let's move on to the second question now. Is Mayor of London Sadiq Khan's statement that Labour is becoming viewed as the, quote, anti-business party a fair assessment of the Labour Party? Who wants to start on that one? Maybe Jacob, you're representing the Labour Party here today.
Well, I think when you want to change things and you want to sort of move power from the big corporations to exercise power in the interest of everybody, obviously there are going to be people that have got accustomed to a certain way of doing things that aren't going to be happy with it. I do think probably we do need to look at this kind of thing. Certainly there are lessons that we have to learn from the elections that we've lost. I believe that that is what Sadiq Khan was referring to, the 2015 election. People didn't believe that they could trust us on it. But I think sort of the biggest anti-business thing is what the Conservatives are doing at the moment, which is kind of talking about how they're going to take us off this Brexit cliff edge with no protections for business. I think that that is worrying for business. It creates uncertainty. And I think if they wanted to create that certainty for people's jobs and for the economy, they should fight for us to remain in the single market.
I mean, I think the only pro-business party in UK politics at the moment is the Liberal Democrats. For a start, we've got a leader who's very respected on the economy and has been working with businesses for a very long time. You know, the man's getting on a bit, let's be honest. But he's been around the block. He knows how to work with, he's worked with Shell, he's worked with all these companies that, you know, have been around for decades now, and he shows a real level of expertise on the economy. But I'd like to address the point. I think Labour is becoming viewed as the anti-business party. I think all that does is harms Labour's chances of becoming the majority government. The road to a Labour majority is incredibly tough, because it's managed to kind of build this base of students, young people, the middle class. I mean, look at the fact that they won seats like Kensington. But to get over the line, they're going to need to kind of reach out to those small to medium businesses and really start attracting not only the employers but the workers as well, and really try to cut through. And I think even once it's in government, it's then got to develop a strong relationship with businesses to be able to provide job growth ultimately. And I think if it carries on the way it's going, if it gets into government, I don't see how it's going to have a good relationship with businesses in the long run.
Well, I just want to touch on a few points that you made there, especially first one with from Jacob, talking about how the Conservatives apparently are the anti-business party for their Brexit stance.
You are the anti-business party.
Well, I just, some of my own personal, maybe to clarify some of my own perhaps own ignorance, what is Labour's Brexit stance? Because I'm quite confused by that generally. Because if we are the anti-business party for not having maybe a poor Brexit strategy, Labour having a very confusing or no Brexit strategy surely is just the anti-everyone almost policy, or the anti-business anti. So if you could clarify that for me, I'd be quite appreciative.
Well, we're not in the position to negotiate, so we're keeping our options open at the moment, because we're not in the position where we can actually negotiate with Michel Barnier, so it wouldn't make sense for us to tie ourselves down to a position.
So it wouldn't be sensible for the shadow cabinet or the opposition to have a viewpoint on one of the most important decisions in British political history, well, recent British, modern British political history?
Well, my personal view is yes, they should, and we should have a concrete position, you know, which involves us staying in the single market, which is going to provide that protection for businesses and for people's jobs, and also we'll make sure that we can still trade with a market of 500 million people. But the Labour leadership obviously is having sort of problems with that. I don't agree.
So, well, whilst that is your personal viewpoint, and we're also all very entitled to a personal viewpoint, this is talking about the Labour Party as a whole. So you're saying the Labour Party has got this chaotic non-Brexit strategy at the moment, which can't... That's sure, as we were talking about earlier, that uncertainty in a Labour strategy, which is, according to itself, the government in waiting...
Well, we have said that we do want... We have said that we do want access to the single market, which is more than what the Conservatives have said on that. So I think it is providing more certainty than the Conservative position, which is we could crash out or we could get a deal, we could do a trade deal, whatever. We don't know completely.
Let's move on to the third question we have here, which is, would raising the minimum wage improve or worsen society? Quite an expansive question. Rich has got his hand up. Fire away.
I think the Conservative record on this is actually one that I think actually displays a lot about how the Conservative Party works. Because when it was first introduced, the Conservative Party was against the minimum wage. But now the Conservative Party... under David Cameron, we introduced the National Living Wage, and that is...
which isn't a living wage, by the way.
We've seen that increase in the national... the minimum wage. And that's because the Conservative Party admits that it was wrong on that initial policy. We've seen that change because the results of introducing minimum wage was not what we thought, and the Conservative Party operates off logic and reason and has now shifted its position to supporting that. But what I was interested in, what I want to raise is the Institute of Fiscal Studies is the... Raising the national minimum wage is not necessarily problematic for it doesn't necessarily hit your the employment market unless you do it dramatically, because when you do it dramatically, when you have those sudden increases, you have that then it hits the shoulders of businesses a lot more because they haven't planned for such an increase. And so I think Labour's policy of like increasing this to such a substantial level so quickly is very dangerous and would worsen society in many ways, especially when we have the rise of AI and automation into into all industries. That sudden drastic increase can really hit businesses and therefore people really hard.
I mean, I'd just like to jump in there, actually. I want to look at both parties' plans because the IFS that you so kindly quoted has actually criticised both parties over this. They've pointed out that this would imply big increases in the cost of employing workers. The Conservative plan raises the cost of employing at least 2.8 million workers by 4% on average. The Labour plan raises the cost of employing 7.1 million workers by almost 15% on average. So this is going to hit businesses hard if we actually make this drastic increase that both the Conservative Party and the Labour Party is introducing. What we actually should be doing is establishing an independent commission, as the Liberal Democrats have suggested, to look into what would it take to actually increase the minimum wage without hitting job growth.
Well, I certainly do think that it should be increased, because what we've seen is that actually the minimum wage has become in some ways the maximum wage for some employers. And I think also what we should look at is lifting the 1% public sector pay cap, because as we've seen inflation go up, wages haven't matched that. So actually many people, doctors, nurses, people who work in schools, for example, have seen their wages regress. And if we actually want to value these people who work in our hospitals, who work to educate our kids, then we have to show that we value them by increasing it.
Well, I'd like to pick up on a few points that we said there, especially with Jacob. As we said, inflation has increased over the past years as, well, Brexit has been announced and gone on, but it has peaked and is going back down. We have had there has been that squeeze on household incomes as we've had, as you were saying, that's all happened. We can't argue with that, that's facts. But what I think... you've got to still have that long-term thinking. You can't have that emotive short-term thinking of that, yes, this is hard for people, but if you sort of raise that 1% pay cap for public workers, dramatically increase that
national
minimum wage.
It's been 7 years. How long is your long-term thinking?
Well, it was economics and economies. We've got to plan in 20, 50, 100 years, because that's what you're planning for. You're planning for long-term growth of your country, not what makes people feel good or what appears good for the next 5 or next 10 years. You've got to think about the long-term effects of what you're doing. And we're talking about the rise of inflation. Well, if we raise that 1% pay cap, we raise that minimum wage, we have that the AI and automation introduced into our industry at a faster rate because of that, how is that going to affect people? How is that going to affect inflation when the public finances are in a more unstable state?
Well, I'm afraid we already see the effects of the cap right now, because in-work poverty has gone up. The amount of people that are going to food banks in work... has gone up. The Conservative Party keeps saying to us that actually the best way to support yourself is being in work. But actually, as we've seen, that is not the case under this government.
I mean, I have to say I have quite an emotive kind of outlook on this, because my mother was a nurse. She was a public sector worker, worked in the NHS for 25 years. And My mother really struggled on the pay that she was receiving, and obviously hadn't received a pay rise in years because of the public sector pay cap. And, you know, we really struggled. I remember not being able to pay our gas bills, all that kind of stuff. And it's all right saying, this is what we need to be doing. But when you don't address the concerns of the economic concerns of voters who are struggling, you end up with things like Brexit, you end up with things like UKIP. And I think parties need to be doing much more to address these rather than pontificating about it.
Well, Callum, I feel your pain as well. My dad is a primary school teacher, my mum is a supply teacher. So my household is fully well experienced the effects of the 1% pay cap as well. The point, and there is a problem with, as we're saying, with wages being squeezed, the household incomes being squeezed, that is a problem. But the way to solve that problem is not to do the quick fix. The way to problem is to address that at the root cause, not to just do these surface fixes which make everyone feel better in the next 5 years, but you've got to fix the problem at its core. And the way to do that is to grow the country as we have been growing, getting people into work and lowering inflation and getting, not to bring it back to Brexit, but to make sure we have a Brexit deal which affects people in the most minimal way possible.
Well, I think one of the things that you're forgetting is that if people have a bigger wage packet, they also have more disposable income, which they can then go out and spend in the rest of the economy. So, you know, if people stop going to that cafe that they go to every Saturday morning, then that means that waitress is going to have to lose a job potentially. So it has a knock-on impact on the rest of the economy.
Well, it does have a knock-on impact, but you want people to have obviously a greater wage packet, but it's how that wage packet increased. And sort of the government subsidising that or forcing employers who aren't capable or aren't in the position to pay an increased wage packet is not healthy for the economy as a whole, and therefore for anyone or any family or any individual themselves. Because if that business starts to raising the national the minimum wage to £10 or £12, whatever, the Labour, I can't exactly remember the exact figures from the policy. £10. Yeah. That could, if they lose that job, or that business shuts down, or that business narrows down its workforce, or young people are employed less, then that's going to have a similar effect of not having that benefit in the economy at all.
Well, I think certainly for small businesses, you know, you have to look at other ways to get around it so that they can actually still pay their workers the minimum wage. So tax incentives, for example, I think is something that you have to look at, as well as other measures to help.
So you're just in a situation where that government is subsidising that wage, because it's not so that business. So you're now
I think
less
that the government
revenues.
Should do that. I think that the state has to take an active role in order to ensure that people have a job, people have a home, and basically they're free to do the things that they want to do.
Well, I think it's where it comes to maybe the differences of ideology, because again, my perspective, the conservative view is creating that, well, the state's role is to make sure the economy can grow in such a way where businesses can provide people the wages, not the government provides people those wages or subsidises wages, but the businesses themselves. So healthy businesses, responsible, ethical businesses are then rewarded by having better workers, better focus, and can then grow and then have that effect on the wider economy.
I think it's time to wrap up. Well, it's been a good debate. Thank you all very much indeed for coming. Thank you all for listening. Join us next month, where the topic, I believe, will be social welfare. So that should be a juicy one. should nicely juxtapose the business month. So thank you again for joining us, gentlemen. A very good evening to you all.
Thank you.
See you next month.